buffets to me have always had a gross connotation, yeah. But like coming from a Vegas sort of.
Right. Because that's where we're all, I think most of us are exposed to it, is Vegas, right?
I just, Garza and I are talking about buffets. Can I call you Garza?
Yeah.
Does anyone call you Steven?
No, most of the time it's Garza.
How long has that been going on for?
Since high school. I remember, it's got to be since junior high or high school. I remember telling my dad, I was like, hey, nobody ever calls me by my name. He goes, yeah, you're going to get Garza.
That's so funny. And you're so lucky because, like, I've always wanted a nickname, but I never got one.
Really?
Yeah, so you're lucky that, like, stayed with you. But guys always call each other by their last names.
Yeah, but, like, even women. In the comedy scene, it's always Garza. I don't know why. Maybe because there's too many Stevens.
There are too many Stevens, but, like, I don't want you to think there's no space for you. Steven.
No, I kind of like it. I kind of like going by Garza.
Because I don't want to call Fury Steven.
Yeah.
But people call Steven Randolph, right?
Yeah, I don't like calling your Steven Steven.
Mm-hmm. You call him Randolph.
I call him Randolph.
Yeah, I don't like that. That would be weird. Well, I guess it'd be weird if your wife called you Garza.
Garza? Yeah. She has the same last name as me.
Yeah. So right before we were about to start, you started saying I was hostile and aggressive.
I didn't say hostile. I said aggressive. Well, I think we've talked about this before, where it's not a bad thing, but you're kind of intimidating to come up to at first.
What?
Or not. Yeah, you have this, when you first started working at the comic, that's how I met you, was working at the comic store, and you work in the cover window.
I was such a bitch.
Yeah. Wouldn't even say it in a bad way.
Yeah.
But you were very standoffish. And I was like, and someone's like, hey, that's a new cover girl. I was like, well, I'm not. And I don't like to introduce myself if somebody doesn't even look my direction. And you kind of did it. I was like, well, and then we slowly became friends afterwards.
Yeah.
And I was like, but yeah, I think you were kind of on guard.
You know what? Like, okay, so I think I started working here in 2014. And then I moved here in 2013. So I moved from New York. And like, obviously, like, I was just very... like carrying that bitchy New York attitude. But then also when I started dating who I was dating when I first worked here, and that person was like such an asshole, you know, because that like tacked on to me. So then I think it's like, because I noticed like today I like walk around my neighborhood.
Yeah.
And I, like, smile and I wave at people. And I used to never do that. And it's like, oh, because I'm, like, happy.
Yeah.
So I feel like people who are happy don't mind, like, being like, oh, hi, and, like, smiling and waving. But, like, I was always in a bad mood because I was in, like, a shitty relationship.
Right. Yeah.
And, like, and the relationship also was, like, we're assholes, you know? Like, that wasn't, like, brought on to me.
Yeah, no.
But I was like, I'm an asshole, too. You know what I mean?
You know what I thought it was? I think because it's this play. Everybody, women are afraid of the Comedy Store at first. At least that's how it used to be. That's kind of what I thought it was. Like, she's just on guard and figuring out.
That too, I did feel like I had to be like tougher. The first night that I worked here, everyone was so fucking mean to me.
Really?
I walked home crying.
Wow.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
I know. Jeron was really mean to me.
He was a door guy at the time.
Yeah, he was. And everyone was like, why the fuck does she work here? Because I didn't, like, showcase or anything, even though I was just doing cover booth.
Right.
But because everyone prior had to showcase to work there.
Ah, that's right.
So they didn't like that. They thought I just, like, got handed it. And then I was just, like, initially mean. But I do feel like there's, like, this initial, like, hazing sort of.
Yeah, I think, especially back then, there was.
Do you still work here?
No.
Oh, okay.
I
wonder, because I know there's so many new door people, and I wonder what that's been like for them.
I don't mean hate. I don't think there was any hazing, but what I mean is, like, there was definitely a period where you had to prove yourself. I don't think anybody had seen you go on stage, and that was probably the problem.
Yeah.
I know I hadn't until you started doing potluck.
And I wasn't really ready.
You weren't? I don't remember. I don't remember that.
I think I was only, like, a year into stand-up.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I've only been doing stand-up for 8 years.
Okay. Well, no, that's a long time.
Yeah, but well, everyone had already been doing it at least like 3 years.
Right,
maybe,
yeah.
When I worked here.
Yeah, that's, I mean, it's just, I think anywhere you're going to get jealousy like that. Hey, who's this new person that got in without doing what I had to do, you know?
And the store has that because, like, I do remember, like, again, like, there's so many new people that work here. And, like, I do think they just lucked out with, like, a lot of openings.
Oh, yeah.
Because so many people left. But, like, it 100% was not like that with working here. Like, I can't tell you how many people, and I'm sure you got this all the time too, like people being like, how can I work there? How can I work there? And it's like, bitch, you ain't the type.
Oof. You got to put up with a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then to pay your dues to even get a job here was real difficult. It's a little bit different now because you can showcase. They showcase for your spot, but it's like a lot of hanging out and getting to know. It used to be hanging out, getting to know the booker, getting to know the other guys. Everybody had to collectively like you.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that's where a lot of the jealousy came from.
It was actually even a process to get hired for me working the cover booth because I started coming in and I was going to the AA meetings that they would have here during
the day. Here in the original room?
Yeah. So yeah, I would do the treasury, which is like you collect the rent and you bring it to them. Like we would bring it to Eric, who was the manager at the time.
Okay.
So I would start to talk to him through that way. Mm. And because I'd see him during the day and I'd be like, can I have a job here? And he's like, oh, we're not like hiring. And I'd be like, please, please, please. I really want to work here. Like I'm doing stand up. I want to like be in this environment. And I he's like, you can send me an email. I was like, let me send you an email with my resume. I was very aggressive and I must have sent him 3 emails.
Yeah.
Like, and I kept asking over and over again until I think finally he was like, fuck. And then Tommy got in trouble and quit or got fired.
Oh, you were here at that time. I didn't know that.
I took his place.
Oh, I didn't
he
know
got,
that.
He happened to get fired and I happened to just be harassing.
Okay.
And like, they were just like, fuck it. Let's let this girl do it.
But I remember that night so well.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. When he got fired?
Yeah. What was that?
Well, because it was on potluck. It was a money. Because he was the spot. He was and he was here for what I heard, 10 years or something like that. And so that was the gatekeeper. If you wanted anywhere in this, you had to be good with him. And he was responsible, obviously, for all the spots and for 10 years. So a lot of people coming up who had just started, they only knew him as the talent coordinator of the comic store. Mm-hmm. You know, they never knew the guy before him, whatever. So with the night, whispers started and it spread like wildfire. Before we opened, we heard, hey, if so-and-so comes in or if Tommy comes in, he's not allowed or whatever. And that they didn't actually say he doesn't work here. They just said he's not allowed in. I'm like, okay. And then it spread that night and I could watch the rumors go around the room. I mean, within 5 minutes, the doors opened. Everybody knew. Everybody's phone was out, texting, and everybody in the community knew.
That's so funny.
So weird.
How long had you been working here at that point? Because I know you came from La Jolla,
yeah,
right?
I worked here about a year with him, Tommy. But I was down at La Jolla for 4.5 years.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, so you've worked at the store for a while.
Yes.
Like 10 years total? What?
I worked here for years.
Okay. Because I was like, can you finish it? How many?
13.
13? Well, at least you're past.
Yeah. That one's like, that's why, that's one of the reasons why I didn't quit. It's like, I can't quit now.
I know.
Why? Okay, once you start getting like 7, 8, you're like, well, if I quit now, I gave up and why do all that work? I'm already hurt. Might as well see it through.
I kind of felt that too.
Yeah.
You know, like actually right before everything shut down, I took like 2 weeks off. Mm-hmm. Because I really hit my bottom.
Yeah.
And Steven had quit a couple months before me. But I just like, I had like this breakdown one night where I was, I just like didn't have a great, it wasn't like, it was like a whatever night. Like I just like didn't have a great night at potluck. And I was just lighting like friends of mine who were past. And like, I don't know why. Maybe I was like PMSing, but I started crying.
No, I could see why. I felt like that.
You know what? It was so tough when you're working here and you're not past.
Yeah,
and like,
it's
after
really
a while,
hard.
Like there's a period where it's so fun and you're hanging out with your friends, but like it really starts to like, what's the word? Like blank on you, like weigh on you.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I can't be here anymore. I can't. And then I was so happy when it shut down and then I just never came back.
Did you even think about coming back after?
No, because then once I had the time away, I was like, I loved like my time working at the store, but it became more like unhealthy for me. And I think also I was just done.
Yeah, right. I think the way I like to describe it when we talk about working here as an employee, as great as it can be, as great as it is at points, it's also like I'm watching other people live my dream.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And you got to watch that. And then you're taking their time. And then you're going to get them saying, hey, you're up next 5 minutes. And it's just, it's hard. It's really hard once you get to a certain point.
Right. I think there's so many people. Yeah. And it is getting to that point because it is so fun at first and you're with all your friends and you're getting up so many times. But then it like, you're like, I don't give a fuck about a cold open.
Yeah.
Like, I can't go home feeling like this.
Yeah, yeah, and you're comparing yourself, so-and-so, and then this person passed me, who I remember I started, but, you know, it just becomes, it's unhealthy, absolutely. Yeah.
So how was it, and congratulations on getting cast.
Thank you. Yeah.
So how was it, I was wondering, how was it showcasing for Emily versus Adam?
Well, so we did showcases with Adam. We did, I think, two as door guys and door host. Right? You were on those.
I think I did it two or three times. Okay. Right? So yeah. You must have.
Because we did a potluck. Potluck, right?
I can't remember. I felt like it was, wasn't it three times? It was 3 years in a row.
Right. Well, what happened is they held showcases and they put them on the original room lineup at 9 o'clock with the paper.
I never got to do one of those.
Me neither.
Okay, so that's what you mean.
Right. But then every door guy got a showcase on the next 2 years on a potluck.
Yeah, I didn't get like a deserved special showcase.
Right. So I knew I didn't have a chance.
So did you, when?
During both showcases. First one, I knew I didn't have a chance.
Okay, so then how did you find out you were going to get to do the special showcase?
With Emily?
Yeah.
So coming back from quarantine, I came back with a different attitude, and I swear things have changed big time.
Because
I came in, I guess I just did a lot of reflecting over quarantine. Quarantine was so good to me. I loved it.
I
just spent every day on the beach up and down the coast, and I did a lot of thinking, and it was great because you don't compare yourself to anybody on Instagram because nobody has shows.
Yeah.
Right? So I didn't have to feel bad about not going out at night. It was the best. It was so good for me. And then I came back refreshed, and I really put things into perspective, like, why am I here? What is my goal? And I came back with like a hard goal this time. Like, okay, there's a new talent coordinator. I have no idea how she feels about me. You know, so this first showcase back, I planned it. I knew what I was going to say. I hadn't done it in a year, but I was so focused, and I don't like to say too much, but I did very well. I had a really good set when I came. My first set back, you know how they do the belly room shows, Fridays and Saturdays. Yeah. And I happened to get lucky to get on the first one. And that was only because I was covering somebody's shift and they had to throw me up that night. And I got it. And I was so focused, like, okay, rather than playing around, I was like, this is my turn. It's my turn now. Mm-hmm. And I think that really came through. That and then the positive attitude after that as far as booking things out to the Comedy Store. It's just weird how once the dominoes start falling, that's when things started picking up for me. You know?
And you, like, felt that energy.
I carried from there. And then once the showcase came, I was like, well, there's no stopping me this time. I paid my dues.
Great attitude.
I just got
the chills.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
I don't have confidence like that. You know me. And Randolph's the same way, where we talk about, I'm not a confident person. But I was like, you're going to have to give me a reason, like, there's no way you cannot pass. I'm going to have that type of set tonight. There's not going to be, I'm not going to have a set to where you're like, well, maybe I shouldn't, you know what? Mm-hmm. So it was like undeniable, I guess, that night.
Yeah. And did you feel more like, because, you know, like we used to always be like, ugh, Adam's watch. Like it just gets this added pressure. What was it with Emily more?
To me, I didn't think about it as much.
Okay.
I got in my head a little bit before the hand because I knew the people that were on the showcase with were going to do well. Mm-hmm. I was like, well, I'll just try and hold my own. And then I caught myself like, no, you're looking at it wrong. This is your night. You've worked here long enough. All right. This is your turn. And I came in with that vibe.
Yes.
And I think that helped out a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even if it's, you know, you're playing the game in your head, it worked for me.
Yeah, I love that. But besides like the positive attitude and you saying that there's a shift, I saw that in you before.
Really?
Because I feel like before quarantine, because you really, and you know how like sometimes when people are like, you really like grew and found your voice and that could come off as like offensive.
No, I know exactly where you're going with this. Yeah.
So when you really like clicked into like the paranoia stuff or like, I've told you this.
Yeah.
Right?
We talked about it.
Yeah. When you started like clicking into that more, it like took on a whole, it was like, oh, he found like that thing that's like, it's like you found that like puzzle missing, not like a missing puzzle, but it's like, oh, that's what works for you. Cause that's like who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And so it came out like the emotion that matched like the material, like it all just like perfectly like was synchronistic. Is that the word?
We'll go with it.
Synchronicity. Yeah.
Everything was synchronized.
Synchronized. That's what I said to you.
Because I remember having a conversation with you in the cover booth. And everybody, your audience knows that you worked here. They know the Comedy Source if I say cover booth and original.
Yeah.
Okay, so I remember you talking to me. And Randolph came back to give you food. and he got you some cake from, I forget where it was. It was a really good piece of cake. And you're like, you never had one? I don't know. And
triple goes, berry cake?
Yes, that's what it
Sweet
was.
Sweet Lady Jane?
Yeah, yeah, that's what it was. And you gave me a piece. And he goes, here, this is for me and Randolph for finding your voice. And that was about a year before
oh!
the... You don't remember that?
Oh, no!
Yeah, I'll never forget that. Yeah,
so we
I'll
must have... That. You did it? So
then, things like that I never forget.
Yeah.
Because very few people do very cool things for me. And yeah. So I'm like, okay, I'll remember
that's
that.
So cute. Wait, but... Oh, so then that had been going on then at least for a year prior
So let me back up a little bit. Yeah, I did have a little bit of a change about a year before COVID, but then when we came back from COVID, that's when everything picked up. It was like on a different level, you know?
But then to me, that's like the timing plus blank equals blank sort of formula. But before that, like, I'd say like that shift, like, is like there was such a noticeable shift in your performance.
Yeah.
And like when you kind of, would you say there was like a more focus on that?
Yeah,
like,
I didn't realize it until people started saying things like you said some things to me and a few others, and I didn't really think about it. And no, looking back on it, you're right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of it had to do with being very depressed before, you know, for years before that and getting in my head and stuff like that, and everything just lining up. And finally, rather than being the guy that feels sorry for himself, being like, all right, well, I got to make a change.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, there's no point in being here.
Yeah. But like, okay. So like, I don't know how to like put it into words. So it's like, I don't want to say like the paranoia stuff or like the murder, like all that kind of shit.
Yeah.
Like, how would you describe what that is?
Oh, yeah, no, that is kind of difficult. I'm always on, Randolph likes to call it neurotic. I don't neurotic.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't like that.
It's more like a neurotic, like hypochondriac. It's not, but it is.
I'm very cautious.
Yeah.
Why? And that all stems back to, I don't know if you want to talk about this or not, but this stems back to what happened to me in high school.
Yes, I did want to talk about that.
So
and I don't mean to get excited.
No, for a school shooting?
Yeah, shit.
With the thing, and that's why I really don't like the word neurotic, because I've even talked to therapists years ago about this. It's like, it's not a bad thing to always be aware of your surrounding and what's going around.
No, that's good.
So I think that's where the murder mystery comes from, is I see these things, and when I watch murder mysteries on TV, I put myself in the situation in case something like happens, because I have seen some things before.
Yeah.
And when you're not prepared, you don't know how to deal with that. I'd rather never be in that situation again, to where I can, that way I'm ready for all scenarios. So
yeah, not going to happen, Denise.
Yeah, yeah, really good, like that stuff. And then I like to be able to see the door when people come in from here, if I'm a restaurant or something.
So is that all stemming from that high school experience?
I think so. Also, I have OCD,
yeah,
so I'm sure that didn't help. But
do you have like active OCD?
Yeah,
I'm is surprised it something you that you're it. Medicated for?
Yeah, I've been medicated for it.
Like,
since it was in high school.
How does it take form for you?
Well, a lot of it is fixating.
Yeah.
So if I don't lock a door,
I
could be there for a long time. It's not as bad anymore, but I used to spend, you know, I could spend a half an hour checking a door lock.
I know exactly. You're like, did I lock that? And you have to go back and check.
Right. And then
redo
so
it
weird.
To make sure you did it good or
yeah.
something.
And then if you don't do it.
I have that.
And then I think if I don't do it correctly, then something bad's going to happen to something. So I have to do it. So in your mind, you're almost like, I'm saving the world. And nobody else knows.
I will leave my home and go in my car. And then I will stop the car in the driveway and go back and check.
Yeah.
And to make sure I lock the door. And I just did this the other day, too.
That's
totally
a little bit
that.
OCD. But yeah, if you can just go check once and then leave, then you're, I mean, I don't think you need to be medicated.
I don't have to do like
know?
Three times to the right and all that.
It's
kind
more
of
like if I don't, if I'm going to turn, say the oven or stovetop, right? If I don't turn it off just right and like I pull my hand and my finger touches on my way off, then I got to do it again.
Until it like feels good.
Right.
Yeah.
But a lot of it is how you are dealing with the inside. So I'm getting better. And plus I'm on the right medication now, which took a while to get to, but I can kind of tell myself, all right, dude, you're being ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And catching yourself in the moment. And that's hard too. I have that too with like intrusive thoughts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Know?
It's all the same. It's all connected.
Like I will have like a day where like I'll make up all this like weird stuff. So like, for example, like I'm at the stage where now, like I could feel like my baby moving all the time.
Yeah.
So
well, you're more in tune with your body probably now, you know?
Yeah. But also like it gets to a point where you feel it all the time. Mm. So like, but if you have a busy day, you don't feel it as much because for some reason, because right. you're like busy and distracted. And like 2 days ago I did chores all day. And like, I knew that I knew I was busy all day, mm-hmm. but, and I was like, oh, I didn't really feel it as much because I wasn't like laying on the couch.
Yeah.
It literally ruined 24 hours of my life. Like wow. with intrusive thoughts of just like thinking like it's bad, something's bad. And like, you have to catch yourself and be like, no, you're just like, this is anxiety. This yes. isn't happening. And like, well, and like talking yourself out of it. And sometimes you just can't.
Exactly. Can I just want to say something yeah. real quick? Cause on touch on that, because OCD is anxiety based. So that's yeah. where it comes from. But one thing that's really helped me a lot is how often have you stopped on your day to day and just enjoyed the beauty around you, just anything around you.
What? No.
Right. I just sometimes started doing that. And it's all about this thing in your head. I started, even if I'm going for a walk on my neighborhood, right? Mm-hmm. How, and you think you know your neighborhood, could you really tell me what type of tree is in front of your neighborhood? You know what mm-hmm. I mean? And all of a sudden you start noticing the architecture of the buildings mm-hmm. and the sounds, the birds, and getting out of my head and focusing on that stuff, mm-hmm. even taking a few moments a day has really helped me.
Totally. I mean, I'm sure that's like grounding to a degree, but yeah. also just like, yeah, being more in touch with like your surroundings and getting out of your head. Yeah, I yeah. do that too when I go on walks, actually. Yeah. It's all like when you're outdoors. It's yeah, hard to do that inside because it's like you stare at the same shit all the time.
Yeah.
But you can really like appreciate nature and feel like more spiritually connected, I think, when you're sure, like outdoors. Yeah. yeah. And you probably get that a lot surfing too.
Because
it's such a spiritual experience.
Yeah. That, and honestly, just for me, just being around the beach in general. Mm-hmm. So even if it's just, I'm not surfing, but I'm snorkeling or riding mm-hmm. my bike on the boardwalk or, you know, over, there's a little
Where are you
cliff.
Snorkeling?
I got to do that in San Diego.
Oh, where?
La Jolla Cove.
You can snorkel there?
Yeah. You never done?
No. I've only snorkeled in tropical locations.
Oh, okay. Oh. You do go to a lot of tropical places, yeah. or have been.
Yeah.
Also, Playa del Rey here in LA.
Oh, really? Okay. Are you back and forth from San Diego and LA still?
I don't go to San Diego that often. Once every 3 months.
So you moved here?
Yeah.
Wait, because you're back and forth.
I would go down there for stage time, yeah.
Oh, okay.
But once I started, and I haven't been doing that for a while because uh-huh. I had a day job for a long time.
No, but
here.
Wasn't your wife at the time living there?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, she was. I forgot about that.
That's what I was talking
well,
about.
We were just dating at the time. And but she would either make a trip up here or I would make a trip down there. So yeah, up until about 4 years ago.
The funniest thing is, I can't remember if you wanted to do this on the day of your wedding or you did do it, but after you had the ceremony, you wanted to get on a surfboard and ride and just go surfing. Did that happen or did you want to do that?
No, that happened.
What? Because yeah. I remember you talking about that before to Steven and I, and we're like, what the fuck are you doing?
At the time, I didn't see anything wrong with it. I was like, why? It's my wedding too. Why can't I go surf
That's
if I want
crazy.
To?
Crazy. You're like a runaway groom.
Well, let me explain what happened. First of all, I got permission. And second of all, we got married on the beach in La Jolla.
And then who? So do you unbutton your tux and you have a bathing suit under and you hop into the water? And then everyone just goes to the reception by themselves?
No, it was after the reception.
So it was you went night surfing?
No, it was in the afternoon. So we got married at 11, and then we had a real small reception. Mm-hmm. Very small. It only lasted like an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours. I had all evening.
So you had all evening to yourself? Because was the timing of the reception based around like the waves that day?
No, but well, see what? We got married right on the beach. And I'll never forget, the waves were so good. And as he was talking to us, there's actually a point.
I already know what you're going
to
say.
There's a point in the ceremony where I'm supposed to say something. I think it was during the I do's. And I got caught because I was like, wow, look at that. And everybody started laughing.
You were just looking over her shoulder at the waves? Yeah. Oh, my God. But she has,
there's footage of it. There's video footage. I got to find it. But
so fun. You have to post
I just got
that.
Distracted. Yeah, okay. I'll find it and do it. I was always embarrassed too. But
and then could you even be in the moment at the reception? Or were you just thinking about those quote-unquote tasty waves?
Tasty waves. Oh. I was back and forth.
That's so funny.
It was so good, though. The waves were so good that day. And because I had been out the day before, and it was nothing like it. And, mm-hmm. and you're here, you're facing the water, and you're watching it while this guy's talking. And you're like, and I'm trying to focus. But
this guy's talking. How about my wedding's being officiated?
Right there.
It's like he's in your way. That's so fucking funny. Because I just imagined you, like, taking your suit off and just, like, heading into the water. And she's like...
Not quite. So I got her permission, and it was after the ceremony, and we were staying on a hotel right on the beach.
And
so
how long were you out for?
A few hours, probably.
And what did she do?
She just sat on the beach.
What?
Isn't that fun for you guys?
No.
I don't know.
That's not fun.
She
was okay with that? Then yeah. You married the right person.
Yeah, she's pretty cool.
Yeah.
She knows me very well.
I guess she knows how much it means to you.
She does, which is pretty cool.
And she knows you're still going to be there, and now you're her husband.
Yeah.
Because there's, the security.
There's that. And, there's a lot of give take with her letting me do that. So, and I know how lucky I am mm-hmm. for her to let me do that. But she also knows how much it means to me.
Mm.
And waves don't break like that every day.
Mm.
So.
A special day.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's so funny.
I tried to justify it by saying, it's my wedding too. That didn't go over well.
Yeah. Well, I guess you made it up. Did you guys go on a honeymoon?
We ended up going on honeymoon a couple years later. We did, where did we go? The Cayman Islands.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Or no, sorry, St. Lucia.
Ooh.
Yeah. And you know what we did? Because you and Randolph told me.
Yeah.
Like, today's your wedding. Today's your anniversary. Or no, your, what is it? Your honeymoon. Mm-hmm. And they'll give you everything for free. And
yes!
And we even went on there and nobody gave us anything for free.
Oh, really?
They didn't upgrade our seats.
Different.
Yeah. The hotel didn't do anything.
Did you tell them ahead of time?
Yeah.
See, so we went to Italy and we told every hotel and they... I get maybe in certain places they do certain things. I mean, the airplane, I guess, is like give or take. I feel like they've become so strict with that.
Yeah.
Like when you're younger, I feel like if there was like a extra first class seat, they might just like let you have it.
Yeah.
But like
they're
that's
tight
not
now.
Flying today. I mean, probably after 2011, it changed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is probably around the time you were in high school. No.
No. 2011 or 2001?
Oh, 2001. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
I was bad at math. You were in high school. What year
I graduated
in
2002.
Oh, okay. I graduated in 2005.
That's right. Okay.
So tell us about this high school experience.
So it was 2001, I believe. And I might have some of the dates mixed up a little bit. I was a junior in high school for whatever. And we're talking about the school shooting, right?
Yeah, we're talking
about
that.
Right. I don't want to start talking about it. You're like, no. I wanted to know about your class schedule.
No. How was high school? And this is in San Diego?
The San Diego Santee, which is like, 20-minute drive from downtown San Diego. It was, and then started to get more rural the further you get out from us. And it was 2001. And I don't know why this caught me off guard all of a sudden.
Sorry.
No.
Should we not talk about it?
No, we could talk about it. It's just, I haven't thought about it in a little while. And I remember, well, it comes up, but as far as like how everything happened, like going from the beginning, trying to remember. Yeah. So we just had the anniversary a few months ago. I think it was the 20th anniversary. And was it so... I'm forgetting the month, but it was
Take your time.
In the morning. So I remember that morning going to school. I remember it being sunny. It was a nice day.
Mm.
I went to my English class, and then I actually had I lost a paper, but it was you had to go see your counselor. I had to go see my counselor, and that would happen. I think it was because my grades weren't very well, and so I actually had the marking of 9:30, whatever, counselor's office, Stephen Garza, which was a few minutes before the shooting happened. I'm bummed that I lost it because it's everything changed after that. You know what I mean?
Wow.
So many things changed after that. Here I'm going to class and I'm going to a counselor's appointment. And then a few minutes later, just, lives got flipped upside down. Not so much mine, but I mean, for some people on the campus, family members. And so what happened is we were outside school. So there was a main quad and a small quad, and the main quad was lined by classrooms. And it was grass area, so classrooms, and then two hallways that led into the west quad, which we called the small quad. And that also was lined by classrooms. And the big quad was more like, I guess, the jocks hung out. And then the small quad would have been your punks and sort of people who were...
Who were you?
I played a lot of sports, so I had friends in kind of both, but I also like music. But I hung out in the west end of the big quad. So right before the hallway, there's two hallways that empty out into the small quad. I hung out by the south hallway right there at the end in the big quad. That's where I hung out. Mm-hmm. And we had a three-bell system. It was break time when all this took place. There's a three-bell system. First bell meant get to class, break's over. I think it was like a 20-minute break. It wasn't lunch. And then second bell meant you got a minute to get to class. And if you don't go to class, by the third bell, you have to go to lockout, which you just sit in a room. You don't get attendance for the day.
Yeah.
And that day, for whatever reason, you know, I would normally wait for the second bell, but the first bell rang and me and my friend John, who I grew up with, looked at each other and were like, I don't really want to go to class right now. Let's just hang out a little bit. Then the second bell rang.
You just had like a weird feeling?
No, yeah, that day more so than any other day, because I never really wanted to go, but for some reason this day I couldn't get going.
Yeah.
And I should have left on that first bell, which I probably normally would have slowly started making my way, but this time I really waited for the second bell. And the second bell rang, so I knew, all right, let's go. And we started making our way into the hallway. So the hallway from the big quad to the small quad. We were making our way from the large quad into the small quad, the end of the hallway. And as before I got there, everybody was coming back out the hallway towards me, but looking the way they came from.
Mm.
And it doesn't process. Mm-hmm. At the moment, I thought it was a fight, mm-hmm. you know, but I didn't understand, why are these people running away from the fight? That doesn't make sense. And I'll never forget this tall blonde girl, just the look on her face. I knew something was wrong. I could tell just by her face. And I'll never forget that. But whatever, I went into the hallway thinking there was a fight, not putting it together that why are they running away from it? I walked into the hallway. No, I hadn't heard anything at this time. I walked in the hallway, and it's at the end of the hallway where I was standing is a soda machine that was butted up against a wall, a stucco wall. And there was a bathroom right there. At the end of the hallway was where the shooter was standing, and he was in a hallway that the hallway emptied out into the bathroom. I don't know if this is making sense. I'm trying to paint a mm-hmm. picture. But it emptied into the bathroom. So the bathroom looked straight down the hall. And in between classes was like herding cattle. It really was. You could barely move because mm-hmm. everybody was trying to get by, especially when you were late.
Yeah.
Because people are now trying to scramble. And the shooter, what he did was took cover in the bathroom that looked directly into the hall. And as I came around the corner by the soda machine, he shot the wall.
You saw him?
I must have. I don't remember seeing him pointing the gun. But I looked at that. Well, I got to back up a second. At the end of the hallway, there was a guy laying down holding his stomach. And I thought, oh, this guy got stabbed. Because the way he was holding his stomach, I thought, but it was just a fight. Why would he get stabbed? It didn't make sense. Then he came back out and started shooting. And that's when I'm pretty sure, I mean, it's so fuzzy because everything happened so fast. He came out of the bathroom firing. That guy got up and ran. And I never remembered who that was, but still not placing it together until he shot the wall next to me. And the stucco wall, so he had a .22, he was using a handgun, I think it was a revolver. He hit the wall next to me, and the stucco, like, blows back in your face. So it kind of blinded me for a second.
Whoa.
And then my buddy next to me, it cut up his, he had all these cuts on his hands because the stucco was so
great.
Yeah, we were right
like
there.
Like it ricocheted
the wall.
Or
yeah,
whatever.
Right, ricocheted off that. And then he shot the soda machine. So I was leaning against the soda machine, kind of, I guess, like this, taking it in, figuring out what's going on. And he's shooting, just picking people off. I don't think he was aiming for me, but he was pretty close. So then he shot the soda machine next to me, which I had my hand on and I was leaning against. I would say probably about a foot from
like
my face.
Like literally right here.
I would have been leaning on this.
Like if this was the soda machine, this was hit. Like
I
you
was
were
leaning
that close.
On it. Oh, yeah, what if this is a soda machine, I'm leaning against it, and he probably shot at the top of the screen.
Oh, my God.
I was, like, right here. Yeah, so probably within a foot and a half, I'd say, from shooting
and
me in the
face. And this is all, like, within 30 seconds or something.
Probably less than that. By the time I turn the corner, I would say, like, 5-10 seconds.
Oh, my God.
And so he starts shooting, and I remember falling to a knee. Mm-hmm. It was because in the hallway, the gun echoed so loud because, you know, guns are loud when they're out in the open, but when it echoes in a hallway, like, it frightened me, I guess. Either I tripped or for some reason I fell to one knee.
Yeah.
And at that point I realized somebody was shooting. That's when it kind of went together. So we turned, I ran around the corner so that if he did keep shooting through the hallway, at least I'd be on the other side. But
it's amazing that you can even, like, because I'm sure it's so hard to think in that moment.
Yeah.
Like, if your brain just, like, shuts down completely or,
yeah.
like, what is inside of you that tells you to, like, no, get up and go over there. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think it's instincts. You know to run. Yeah. You know to run away. But it did, like I said, probably took 5-10 seconds to realize what was going on. I didn't hear the first shots. What happened was he shot, then he went back in and reloaded in the bathroom. He was using the bathroom for cover. And actually, one of the kids he killed was using a urinal at the time, shot him in the back of the head. Oh. And the guy, my friend, was in the bathroom at that time. And I don't want to say the shooter's name. I don't even like to say his name.
But it was someone who was
freshman at the time.
Oh.
But, yeah.
Did you know him?
No. I knew the groupie hung out with just burnouts. Yeah. Okay. I knew those guys because we had grown up a little bit together. My friend was using the urinal next to him. He shot him in the back of the neck. And he fell over, fell down, and was laying in like a pool of blood. The shooter goes back out to do the second round. And I'm assuming that's when I came around the hallway. And my friend was moaning on the ground. And the shooter turns around and goes, shut up, or something like that.
Oh, my God.
He survived. This guy survived.
The one who was shot in the neck?
Shot in the neck. The guy, unfortunately,
was he paralyzed?
The kid. No, he was out for months after that. He came back with a neck brace. He was out. But you could see the scar in the back of his neck.
That's incredible. He survived.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Oh, my God.
And we played basketball together, so I knew him pretty well. We were pretty good friends, and baseball. And I saw him a year after high school, and he was married and had a kid on the way. So I know he was doing well last time I saw him. But that's how brutal this guy was. And as he was shooting, this was back when video cameras weren't, not everybody had a video camera. But, you know, some kids would, every once in a while you'd see a kid with, and it was kind of rare. For whatever reason, a kid had a video camera on, and he was in the classroom across from the hallway, or across from the bathroom, and he could see into the bathroom. And we had windows that were high up on the wall. It wasn't like you could stand and look out. You had to really look up. He got up on a desk and started filming down. And the police had the footage and never released it.
Yeah.
So there is footage of it, the actual shooting. He said that the shooter was smiling as he was shooting. Yeah. Just psychotic.
And, so, okay. That's so disturbing.
Yeah, is that
Did
crazy?
Did you ever find out why? I mean, I don't know.
He was trying to impress his burnout group. That's it. And
ew.
I can get more into it. Yeah, because
I mean, obviously he's mentally ill.
Yeah, he's trying to get out right now. He's trying to get out of jail, which
so he's been there since.
He's been in jail since. At one point, he wanted to be a cop. That came out in the paper.
That's
I was like, all right,
disturbing.
Buddy. Well, yeah, I got a.
Or
well, let me finish real quick.
Sorry.
No, you didn't interrupt. I just mean before I get into that stuff, he would. And let me know if this is too
I'm
much
just
you don't want to talk
back
about
and
it. All right.
My stomach.
I don't want to. It's soothing me.
You're the baby. It is?
Yeah, it kind of was. I don't know. It's because he looks, I think because he looks so relaxed.
I'm so full. I just have and to rub it. Sorry, I should not be laughing right now.
No, there's funny moments.
I think maybe it's like the release, you know?
Yeah.
It's like a horrible story, and then you find out that
there are, I guess there were funny moments. Look, I mean,
no, I don't
want
to find, we don't need to find the funny moment. I don't want to find the funny moment.
Well, here's something that I don't know. Okay, so I was running, and the thing is, when I was running away, nobody knew if there was another shooter. So in the back of my mind, I'm running as fast as I can, but I think there's somebody on the roof. I'm not sure if there's a guy sniping up there or if I'm going to run into somebody else as I'm running backwards and come face to face with another shooter. Nobody knew. In that situation, you're just so helpless and you have no idea really what's going on. And I ran and I was with this special needs kid. I'll never forget. We ended up running side by side next to each other. He was a really cool kid. I had a PE with him and I looked at him for a second, like, should I help him? What do I do? But then I was like, he was running, I swear, just as fast as I was.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, he's, you know, I think he'll be okay.
Yeah.
So we kind of ran to the parking lot together, but I remember going through my head, should I help him? What do I do? And as we were running to the parking lot, there were these guys called NARCs. They were campus supervisors. And I think they were guys that were eventually going to be cops.
Yeah.
But that's where you start.
Right.
Everybody running away. I'll never forget this guy was running towards the shooting. I just thought.
Just like ready to be a fighter.
Yeah.
Ready
isn't
to
that
be
crazy?
A hero.
To me, it was just so brave to see. I was out of there. All of us were out of there, but he was willing to risk his life.
That is very brave
him.
For a high school student to do that.
No, this was a campus supervisor, like a security.
How old was he?
He's probably in his 20s, mid-20s.
Oh, okay.
There were guys that, yeah, so
it thought was. Thought it was like a junior.
No.
Narc.
No.
You know, and just like, oh, well.
But that would have been brave, but that wasn't.
Yeah, no, that, okay, it's a little less brave. No, it's still brave.
Well, that's his, I mean, his job is
security.
No, that
is very brave. Yeah, he doesn't have to run to a shoot.
And then I heard about some school shooting recently where a guy had a gun and he didn't go, he ran away or something. And I don't really know how I feel about it. I didn't look into the story too much, but I think about that moment where this guy didn't have a gun. He was just there to break up fights, make sure everything went smooth. He was running towards it without a weapon. I'll never forget that. I just never forget how brave that was.
Yeah, that's powerful imagery.
Yeah. We used to have these lunch carts. They would wheel lunch carts, and that's where all the snacks were. They have sodas, whatever, cookies, things like that. And they normally have, from what I remember, retirees that would come in. And there's a really nice lady. She had white hair, and she always had it, like, perfectly. It was perfectly done.
Coiffed.
Coiffed, is that what you guys say?
Yeah.
Coiffed, and it had, you could see like the hairspray. It was
yeah,
hard.
Yeah.
And she would work that cart that was right in front of the bathroom where the guy was shooting from. And so she hid behind the cart. Mm. It was only a wooden cart.
Yeah.
I guess she had a heart attack, but she lived.
From fear?
Yeah, I guess shock. Yeah, she ended up living, and she lived a few years later. I ended up moving down the street from her. She never knew me, but I could see her, and like it was good to see her.
How many people did he kill or injure?
Well, he shot 13. Yeah, he shot. But you got to remember, he was just. It was so easy in this hallway. He didn't even have to aim. He was just. That's why I'm pretty positive he wasn't aiming at me, because he was just shooting into the hallway, and picking people off. So 13, and then two of them died. And one of them was a freshman in the bathroom. I believe that was Brian Zucker. He was a freshman. And I remember him because I didn't know him, but there was a rumor going around about this kid who would run into a pool if you gave him $1 because he wanted to be a stuntman. And that was him.
That's
and
funny.
I remember,
wow.
You know, we'd all bring our dollars trying to find this. Who's this kid that will do this? And it still makes me sad to this day. Like, he had these big, he wanted to be a stunt double and was all taken from him because of this. This dude, you know,
that's
only
so
a freshman.
Horrible.
Yeah, never got to experience anything. And that was the only kind of memory I had of him because I didn't know. I was a junior, so I didn't know too many freshmen. And then Randy Gordon was a senior. He got shot, ran out of the hallway. I was to the left. I guess he went to the right, and he died in a teacher's arms. And that guy was supposed to be my teacher the following year, but just had so many issues because of it that I remember him telling. He came into our class that it was supposed to be his, but we had a fill-in teacher. He's like, I can't be here, guys. I have 5 shrinks trying to help me through this. And he just, I don't know if he ever came back.
Wow.
But he wasn't able to handle it. So there was that. And then I'm trying to get you all the details. Just so what happened one point that after I worked there or after I was in school there like 5, 6 years later, I got a job with that school district for the elementary school district. And a girl that worked there was dating him currently in prison. And I
dating
found out
the
about,
shooter?
Yeah, sorry, I didn't make that clear. Yeah, she was dating the shooter while he was in prison.
Who are these people?
Yeah, isn't that insane?
They're like Charles Manson followers. There is like this.
That's
bizarre. So she probably, like, obviously she searched him out.
She must have.
Because it's like he's the shooter.
Unless they knew each other somehow before that, I don't know.
That's so bizarre.
I don't remember her from high school, so she must have been younger.
Yeah.
And I remember somebody telling me, hey, this girl's dating the shooter, because I knew I went there. And she, my brother worked there, and he's like, at one point he had heard her say, I'm so excited today, I'm going to get to go see my boyfriend.
Ew.
Yeah. And I was pissed, man, because I wanted the job.
Of course.
And I was like, I don't know how I'm going to react to this if she says something like that in front of me. And I ended up working pretty close with her, and it never came up. She never said anything. I don't know if she knew to keep her mouth shut around me, but also I never said a word to her.
Mm-hmm.
We did work very close, but if I would always go around to talk to somebody to talk because I just didn't want nothing to do with her.
Of course.
Yeah.
That's so traumatizing to go through. I mean, I can't imagine.
It was just sick. It made me sick to my stomach.
Yeah. And how many years after Columbine was that? Because that's when I was in high school.
Yeah, so Columbine was
a couple years
99,
after.
I think.
Oh, okay.
So we were a year or two after. As far as I remember, it was the first major school shooting before or after Columbine.
Yours?
So, yeah.
Wow.
They had the ones in the
80s. Well, 13 is so many.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. People don't, I mean, and people forget, you know, there's so many that happen now.
There
but even
was
people
a
in
lot
Diego
during
forget.
Following that, though, I remember.
Yeah.
There was like.
Well, actually, a week or two later, a high school probably 3 miles away, Granite Hills, had a school shooting, copycat from our school shooting.
Yes, and there was like the, like a copycat. Like people who were trying to be like that. And
right,
then
that's
the
what
incels came after that.
What did?
Incels.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? That followed that, like... Uh-huh.
So it was bizarre that people were calling, and it was world news at the time because people were calling from other countries, knowing my grandma lived here, asked, "Don't you know? Do you have anybody? Do you have a son that maybe lives out in that area?"
Whoa!
And so, and they were calling from different countries, and people were telling me like, "Yeah, all over." People were getting calls from all over the
country.
Was
there like news stations?
Yeah, it was every day on the news, every CNN. So if you turn on CNN, Fox,
so you can't
it's
get
all
away
you
from
could.
It.
No, Geraldo was there for a long time. I remember that. In news trucks just lined up all the way down the street. And you could not turn on any of the news stations without that on. There was nothing but that on. And that was everywhere from what I was hearing, not just in San Diego.
Did your school offer counseling?
Yeah, they brought in counselors and they made a makeshift bungalow office for the counselors until it was there up until I graduated and probably there till the freshmen graduated that were there. And so they were available, but I never used it.
Really?
Yeah, one time I got called in. Because something was said. I was going to get into a fight with another kid and something was said and then they pulled me in. But I didn't want to really talk about it. At least I didn't think it affected me at the time. You know, now I'd love to find a therapist and talk about it. But back then I didn't really.
You don't realize.
Yeah.
I think stuff hits you later sometimes too. And
it
then
does.
It's like, whoa, like that was a big deal. Like you minimize things, I think.
Or even telling story, even telling you and seeing your face and some of this, I'm like, I forgot that it was really serious, man. Like I almost died.
Yeah.
Very close. And that starts to bother me the older I get. Because look at all the cool things we get to do in comedy, you know, and then you're having a kid and I'm married and you're, you know, they could have all just been taken away and very close. I mean, within a foot and a half at least.
And that's interesting too about like things registering on people's faces. Like I remember I would like do so many crazy things growing up. And I'd tell people and like think it was funny and laugh. And then I would see like people's faces like disturbed.
Yeah.
And then that would like click in and I'm like, oh, like.
It was always just something that happened, you know? I guess it'd be like growing up with something you know, no different.
Yeah.
You know? So with me, it was just always there. And it, you know, sometimes that's why I guess nobody knew about it up here because it never comes up. And I didn't even think about bringing it up unless something random happens. Mm-hmm. Like, oh yeah, I know, you know, I can relate to that. But then it starts to kick in the older you get when you realize, you know, how fragile things are.
Yeah. And that's just so traumatic. And, sorry that you had to witness that. That's crazy.
So he ended up living, I didn't know this. Yeah, at the time of the shooting, he lived a few blocks away. I didn't know until afterwards. Yeah, he was just across a busy street and then lived in an apartment complex right there. So.
And he went right to jail, obviously.
He went to jail and he was convicted I think he had a life sentence, but now I don't know because he was under 17. So I don't know with the new laws, if anything's going to happen, if he's going to have parole sooner. I don't know how. I haven't followed the case. I used to follow it. There would be the newspaper down there would give articles every year or whatever on the anniversary. My dad would send them to me. And now I don't really care, you know. So I followed it up until about 2011 maybe. Once I moved up here in 2013, I really just stopped paying attention. So I don't know. I know he was appealing to get out and I don't know what the new laws are.
Yeah.
So he may have a shot. I don't know.
See, that's like so disturbing to me with like how this is like a political conversation, so I'm like pausing. Well, it's just it's crazy to me how jails and stuff and I guess prisons just get overpopulated. So they release some of these people and it's like you would think this person's just another crazy person, obviously.
Yeah.
But then it's like, what do you do? I don't know how to solve the issue.
I don't know if you can.
Yeah.
I mean, I want him to spend the rest of his life in jail.
Totally.
You know, I hope he never gets out.
Yeah. Because it's like, this person is obviously capable of like, if you're smiling while doing
that,
there's
something
very wrong.
I remember seeing the footage of him afterwards because it was all on the news. They took him to the police station in our town and they were walking him from the car to the station and he was crying. And it was, you realize how small, he was just like, he was small. He was a freshman
realizing
kid.
Realizing what he did.
Right. And that's why I think he just didn't think it through. And I didn't tell you about kind of why it happened. But so I think he realized, oh, I messed up at that point. And then, well, I do want to say this real quick. I guess he went to, when he was sentenced, he went to a pretty hardcore prison and they wanted him, you know, to join a gang and carry weapons from what I read in the paper.
Yeah.
He was like, I just want to serve my time and got separated. And I was like, man, wish he would have stayed there. But
did you feel like on high alert around like noises? Like looking over your shoulder kind of vibe.
That type of thing. So when I go into a restaurant, my back is to a wall mostly. I like to be able to see who comes in. I want to know where the exits are. I was in Vegas a couple months ago with my wife, and just being in big crowds bothers me. I know that, okay, if I run, maybe I could go. If somebody shoots from here, I can go that way. There's a hiding spot. Oh, that guy looks suspicious. So that's always going through my head. And I think that comes from it.
Yeah.
I had a therapist once say, he's like, I don't know if that's necessarily a bad thing.
No, it's not. I think it's great to be like highly alert and aware of your surroundings and like in tune to like there's so many people who can't like read people, reading someone's energy and being like, that guy's weird. Like, I don't want to be around that guy.
Did you see that video where this guy in LA he had a bike and then he was hitting people in the mall and he ended up getting shot by cops and killed. But I forget what he was hitting people with, but he went down an escalator. And then he was just standing there, and people were passing him, even after seeing him do some crazy stuff. It's like, you got to have some self-awareness to know that don't go by him.
Yeah.
You know,
walk
around.
There's so many people who have no awareness. It's just like people on the street who are just like, huh? Looking around. It's like, move the fuck out of the way.
Exactly.
Like, get out of the sidewalk.
They're just not, people just don't pay attention.
It's so bizarre.
It's weird. I never understood that.
Yeah.
One thing, and I know I'm talking fast. I'm sorry if that's
you're
hard,
fine.
But I've learned this recently that when I start talking about it, all the memories come back, and I'm just trying to get everything out. And so my speech picks up. But one thing I wanted to say is kind of what started it is he was hanging out with these burnout kids, and they were notoriously known for being burnouts. A lot of them had already dropped out, and he was trying to fit in with that crowd. He was new to the area from the East Coast. Apparently, this was a big school compared to where he came from. His mom was still in the East Coast. His dad and him moved out here, and he met this group. He was trying to impress them. He was smoking weed, I guess, a lot with them and wanted to fit in. And one kid in particular who I knew growing up and was always a loser goes, he told the kids he was going to do it the day before. You know, I think
Did they get in trouble?
No.
Okay.
So, well, actually, I'll explain in one second, but he said, I'm going to do it. And one of the biggest burnouts that I remember from being a loser from the time I was a kid, he goes, you won't do it, you're a pussy. To me, that's what set everything off, you know? The next day, he did it. And the friends he had said they heard the gun going off. They said this on the news. They were dumb. Emotions were so raw at the time that his friends went on the news and incriminated themselves. So he goes, I'll never forget. I think you could still find it, but they played this clip of this kid. He goes, yeah, we knew it wasn't fireworks when we heard the sound. We knew it was gunshots, and we knew it was him because he told us he was going to do it. And the camera asked him, well, did you say anything? He's like, well, we said you're not serious, right? And he goes, no, I'm not. And so we left it at that. And so they said, when they heard the gunshots, they're like, everybody thought it was fireworks. I thought everybody else's experience was, oh, it must be fireworks. And for a split second I did, but I kind of knew. But here's his friend saying, oh, no, we knew it wasn't fireworks. We knew it was him shooting up the school. I was like, you idiot. And
I bet they beat themselves up over that, though.
Well, to make things worse, one of their parents knew. One of the kids' parents knew, didn't say anything. And he was so stupid, he went on news and told the story of knowing. And the reporter came on and he goes, because the guy ended, he goes, you're not really going to shoot up the school, are you? And the shooter said to the dad, he goes, no, I'm not. And dad goes, good, because we don't want to have another Columbine. And the news reporter stopped him right there, and he goes, and now there was another Columbine. And I think that was the end of the interview right there. But they got kind of chased out of town.
They moved?
So the kids that knew had to go to another high school. And one of them, I don't know. Well, the burnouts obviously got away no problem because they weren't going to school. The few kids that spoke up on the news, I think, got chased out a little bit.
Wow.
They were being harassed.
Mm-hmm.
One kid went to Granite Hills, so was there for the Santana shooting, transfers to Granite Hills, and then goes to the Granite Hills shooting. right after Whoa. That. So two school shootings in 2 weeks.
No.
Yeah, and I guess.
And then he was homeschooled after that.
Probably.
I mean, like, probably. Fuck.
I mean, with that type of luck, yeah,
don't
go outside.
That's so traumatizing.
And then somebody told me when those kids went onto their campus, I don't know how true this is, but yeah. the rumors get back to me that they were saying, hey, don't bring your hate crimes here.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so he wasn't exactly welcome there.
Right.
But he or she, I'm pretty sure it was a guy, but I'm not sure.
That parent, I mean, I can't imagine the guilt they must feel.
Yeah. I understand at that time when people say crazy things all the time, our friends, especially as comics.
And but if the kid probably told their parent because they were concerned. Like, how do you think it got
no,
to the
I think, yeah, I don't know.
Because the
right.
kid probably went home and said, hey, blah, 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 said they were going to do this.
You're right. I didn't think about that. So maybe
they
at least he did
home.
Tell a parent.
They did yeah. the right thing, and the parent didn't.
Yeah, I did not think about that. Like, you could be totally right. So here I was kind of thinking, this guy should have said something, but I guess they did. How would the parent find out?
Yeah, the kid came home and told his parent, and he was like, do you think I need to do anything? Probably. But
I think they must have been hanging out all together that day because the dad spoke to him in person.
Oh.
And from what I heard, this happened the day before. That's why the next day when they heard shooting, they knew it wasn't fireworks because he told them just
yeah,
the night before.
That's sick.
Yeah, it's crazy, huh?
So, yeah, I got my ring stuck on my hand.
Yeah, <I'm sorry>. That's hilarious.
I was like, well, where do we go from here?
I was all into watching your ring story on your stories on
Thank you.
Facebook.
I tried to make it that you were attuning. I tried to make it that way. I made yeah. them like short because I wanted you to feel like you were tuning into it.
Yeah.
But is it fucked up to just transition into this?
No,
I don't
no,
know
I
how
don't
to
care.
Transition out.
No, I like when people want to hear the story, I have no problem talking about it. It's not like it's not emotionally stressful to me.
I guess I
about
felt
it
emotionally
and,
stressed.
Okay. No, if you, yeah.
No,
if,
it's horrible.
And it's, you know, it's really, I forget that it was children, you know?
Yeah.
I forget about that. So it makes it hard for, because people have reached out to me after hearing stuff like this. And I realize it affects them.
Mm.
And I forget that we were kids at the time. So I think that makes it harder on people listening.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I get it. That, you know, it's hard to transition to anything. That's why I've tried to make bits about it in my act, but it never works.
It's hard.
Yeah.
I've tried to, Well, it will work better as a story.
Yeah.
That you find moments to punch up.
But it brings people down. Every time I try,
I know.
They just pull away.
So
Every
I had
time.
A story about how I tried to kill myself
uh-huh.
5 years ago. And it I did it on stage once here. And
okay.
But I had it, I have it tagged.
Okay.
And like I made it into like a story and Adam did come up to me after and be like, that's a great story. I don't know if it's right for here, but like you should continue doing it.
Well, if it's not right for here, where do you take it?
Or maybe he just said like, work it out, but I don't know if it's right for like, it wasn't right for like potluck.
You know what I mean? Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
It was, or like on the road when you're filling time or something.
Have you told the story on this podcast before?
Because
I didn't know that.
Probably. Well, it was like, so 5 years ago when I relapsed.
Okay. Well, the thing that's weird is I knew you 5 years ago.
I know.
I remember this. Well,
yeah.
I remember the breakup, but I didn't know.
So I had a really bad breakup.
Yeah.
Because he like rubbed it in my face that he cheated on me. I've talked about this so many times on podcasts.
Oh, okay.
But just briefly, what happened is I relapsed and it was over a 2 week period. But basically over that 2 week period, like I relapsed. I went to a rehab for like 3 days. Mm. I got kicked out of that rehab. Then I like went home and drank a lot, and then I did coke for 16 hours, and then I took a bottle of Xanax because I was coming down and I like wanted to die because, you know, like if you come down from coke and you're like, oh, I feel horrible. So I took 27 Xanaxes, and then
Oof.
I like sent him an email.
Sent who?
The ex.
Oh, the ex, okay.
And then he called the cops, and then they knocked on my door like 5 minutes later. So like in the bit, I'll be like, oh my God, they're at my house like literally within 5 minutes, like faster than Uber. So, you know, like that's how I'm trying to like make it fun.
I get it.
And then they took me to Cedars, and I was there overnight, and then I woke up, and they're like, we have to 5150 you because you tried to kill yourself.
Yeah.
And I was like, I was just trying to get attention, not detention, you know, just like stupid shit like that. So like, it's always like hard to, and then I like joke about how, and I really did do this. They told me they were taking me to Alhambra, like mental hospital. And I looked it up on my phone and I'm like, it only has 1.5 stars on Yelp.
Sometimes those places can be more detrimental, man.
It was horrible. But I've done it a couple of times, but yeah, I think it would probably work well as like a story, but you have to like really write it out and like find those moments.
You'd really be dedicated to trying to make that funny, you know, if you really want to do that a bit. But
I want to do it on stage.
I think it's got to be one of those things where the crowd warms up to you first.
Uh-huh.
And then...
Oh, yeah.
And then they get it, you know, open with it. Because your jokes are in your face anyway.
Yeah.
And the way you deliver it. So I think once you do that for, I don't know, 15 minutes, you're doing a longer set, then that would kind of fit in.
Yeah, I don't think I did it. Like, I have a couple of stories that, like, I would tack in between, like, the more, like, set up punchline jokes.
Right.
But, like... Yeah, it's better to do a more fun upbeat.
You know what I just thought as you were saying? By the way, this podcast went real dark. Is that what this podcast is for or no?
No. It just went that way? I'm so sad right now, though, are you? Do you feel sad?
No. Oh. No, I feel sad for you because I didn't know you were in that situation.
Oh, I don't feel sad about my story. I feel sad from your story.
Oh, say I feel sad from yours.
Okay, good.
Because I knew you.
I feel fine. It was just like, It wasn't really about him. It was like my whole life leading up
everything
to that
coming
point.
Up to that moment.
Because I'd always been in an abusive relationship. I think it was just like enough was enough, sort of.
Yeah. Luckily, he did call the cops, though.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily. And with cocaine nowadays and all the fentanyl that's mixed in. Whew.
I know. I'm glad. I don't think fentanyl wasn't really cut into coke, I don't think, then.
No, I know. But I'm just thinking about it today.
I know.
And, you know,
I'm so glad I don't do coke anymore. Because
crazy.
It'd be such a risk.
One thing I want to say is because of, you know what happened when Jeff Scott passed away? Did you go to his memorial? I don't remember seeing you.
I didn't.
Okay. Are we going to get off? What was that?
No, we're fine.
Okay. So I was just going to say after I found out that he passed away, I started thinking, people were writing nice things and I wrote nice things like, man, I really wish I could have told this to him when he was alive. I really wish I would have. I bet he really would have enjoyed it. And I started thinking, why do we only do this when people pass away? Mm. So a few weeks later, I started texting people that I appreciated.
Aww.
And I text you and Randolph. Do you remember?
On a group text?
I bet I have it on my phone. Can I check?
Yes!
Yeah, let me check it out.
Sorry, it must have not struck me.
Oh, I guess I don't mean.
Wait,
no, but I was happy I got it off because...
Wait, maybe.
It was over the pandemic.
Okay. I need the reminder, but I'll remember when I hear it. Well, I'm glad we were thought of.
Let's see if I got to find one with... Okay. I think this is this. Okay. Are you ready?
Yeah.
I'm going to read the whole text. I'm going to read what you wrote back. Okay. I put... This was on January 13th, 2021, 6:52 p.m. I write, "Hey, guys." And this is to you and Randolph in a group text message. "Hey, guys. This may seem strange, but I wanted to take the time to say I appreciate you guys as friends." And then you wrote, "Garza, we love you. What a nice text." And then Randolph put, "We love you, man. Text means a lot." And then I put, "You guys are the best." I thought I wrote a little more than that, but to me, that was hard to do.
You were gearing up like a paragraph was coming.
Sorry, I thought I did.
I was like, but that is very sweet. And sometimes just that little notation. And see, now this is what I'm talking about with saying little.
Yeah.
See how that didn't work?
Yeah, I see what you're saying. But I didn't catch it.
No, that is so sweet.
But for me to go out of my way and do that, it's a big deal, to be honest. I know it doesn't come off that way, but for me to
vulnerable.
Even write that to somebody is a big deal. And I only did it to a few people.
Yay!
You guys were one of them. Oh, two of them.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, it's always nice to receive those kind of messages, but I know what you mean. Just like, it just puts things into perspective and like.
It really does.
Yeah.
I've tried to focus on that. So. I mean, if any good can come out of this dark, I think with all our past experiences and learning from them now and knowing that, you know, letting people know how you actually feel when you see them can mean a lot. It means more to me. So I try and do that more.
Yeah. Now. And I think it's also like, as you get older, you're not like trying to be cool anymore. It's like, you know, there's like so much less of that.
There's people in my life, and I'm sure yours, where you have friends, right? And then you have people, for whatever reason, you just feel that you have a special connection with.
Uh-huh.
And that's different than the friends that you kind of hang around with. I don't know what that is. So I don't know why you connect better with certain people.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think it's like being seen.
What do you mean being seen?
Like if you feel like, oh, that person gets me.
Yeah, I felt that way about you. And before you were with Randolph, actually, I remember it was I have a for
See,
certain
I
things,
am a nice person.
Yeah, no, you were always great to. I've never had an issue with you. No, actually, one time I did.
What?
I did have an issue with you one time.
Really?
Yeah, but it wasn't bad.
What did I do?
You want to say?
Yeah.
Okay, it's not bad, but one time we were seating in the OR, and these two ladies were giving me just the worst attitude, and I was trying to be nice, right? I put them in one seat, just refused to sit there. Put them in another seat, refused to sit there. Then they got up and sat themselves in the bucket seat after they had moved themselves once before
yes.
that. So three times I moved them.
This sounds vaguely familiar.
And they
familiar.
Were super rude to me, and they went in the back, and they just wouldn't listen. And it was so busy getting people in, and I called security because we had radios. I was going to get them kicked out because they refused to move from the bucket seats. They're like, this is what we want. You came out of the booth, and you're like, guys, here, let me help you. And you took them to a better seat. Now, you
I remember that.
Do you?
I think so.
And I asked you, why did you do that? I wanted to come out. He's like, I just wanted to defuse the situation. I was like, that. Looking back on it, I understand that. At the time, I just wanted to get them out because how rude they were to me. But, you know, it's nothing that was personal towards me. At the time, I took it personal because I wanted them out. But
I know what you mean.
As soon
Steven
as I talked to you.
Get mad about stuff like that, too. Because it's like the door people get frustrated. And it's like if they're disrespected, then, like, they don't want to fucking let the person in. I think we both have different experiences, like, seeing customers coming in.
Yeah.
You know? Because, like, we just get different like experiences with them. I think sometimes when I would see like maybe like two girls coming in, if someone was nice and they had like good vibes, I wanted to take care of them.
Right. But they would do that and then they would turn a switch and go completely 180 on the door guy. So we get two feet. And that's probably what happened, to be honest.
Maybe I felt like I was like, oh, they're two girls who just like want to have a good night.
Yeah, you could have. I mean, we got them in. They didn't ruin the show.
Yeah.
So everything worked out, you know, so you made the right call. But a lot of times, in my experience, when you'd have people like that, they ended up being a problem later on in the show. So that's why it was better to get them out earlier rather than later. I just didn't like that they were so comfortable with you after treating me like dirt. I think that's what I was like, oh, great, now they're going to...
Yeah. People are just so rude to... I guess we were in service positions.
Yeah.
But, like, some people are just so... I mean, like, I can't even, like... Some people
were
just
nasty.
So fucking rude to me.
Yeah.
So rude. Like, right in front of my face.
Well, that's exactly
like
what they were doing that
night. Calling me a bitch
or
talking shit about me with, like, groups of people. And I'm like, I can fucking hear you.
Yeah.
Like, I'm literally right next to you. And they're just talking about me. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, just weird shit. Like, but those people are just, like, mentally ill.
Yeah. You got to keep that
like,
in mind.
Like, those are weirdos.
And you're right. And the older I get, the more I realize that mental illness is... a severe condition a lot of people have. So
yeah, I have
it. Tried it. So I.
I'm anxious. Yeah.
OCD is a mental illness, I guess. I never looked at it that way.
Mental illness sounds like so bold.
Right.
Inhibition.
Okay.
No.
Because you picture
a
sociopath, or at least I do a lot of times. You picture someone with severe bipolar disorder or something. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but I want to say, I remember
the time I was nice.
No, yeah, the first time I kind of talked to you outside of the Comedy Store was we were at, remember the show that used to run on Mondays? Jay Davis used to run it on
Melrose?
The Parlor, that's what it was.
Yeah, yeah.
We would go there and hang out and we would just sit in the back because I don't even think either of us had a spot. We were just hanging out. We were talking.
I never hung out there.
You were there?
Yeah, but I had a spot.
Okay. Well, I hung out there.
I never went to shows just to hang out.
You're good. I wish I could have done that. I would go every Monday to at least, you know, because if I'm not doing anything, might as well make an effort.
Mm-hmm.
I only got put on one. I put up last, and it was awful. Actually, you were there. You were there for the show I got put on. I don't know. Maybe it was the same show. I don't think, but I just remember we were talking about other people, laughing, making fun of other people, you know, and then after that, we became friends.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, she's
actually
pretty cool.
Maybe I did hang out there, actually. I don't know.
You might have had a
spot. I just wanted to sound
cool. Wish I could
say
that.
For my closing statement. Garza?
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
This has been a blast. And then I know that you've been on the road.
Yeah, a little bit.
When
does this come out?
Next Wednesday.
Next Wednesday.
In a week.
So in the San Diego area, I'll be on Friday and Saturday of February. So I forget the date, but the first Friday and Saturday.
La Jolla?
No, not La Jolla. I'm doing Comedy Heights.
Okay, cool.
Comedy Heights. If you want to follow me on Instagram, @StevenGarzaJoke, and I'll post it all there.
Yay.
Check it out.
And you've been going on the road with Mark Normand?
No, I got to open for him in Brea.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I thought that was fun.
That place seeks 600 people. I didn't know that. He sold out all five shows.
Yeah, he's so incredible.
Great. Incredible. Yeah, he's really good and really cool. I liked him off stage too.
Yay. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Okay.